I'm really honored to be invited to speak in this session. I'll just start and then I'll talk about my collaborators and how I got involved in vision research a little bit. But today I'm going to talk about the impact of visual function changes on mortality through changes in ADLs and IADLs among a population of aging adults.
Just page down. Down here.
Oh, this arrow. Okay, I'm sorry. No relationships to disclose. So I work with a group at the Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute, and we recently also started collaborating with Sheila West and her group at the Wilmer Eye Institute. And we want to acknowledge some of our funding here. I am actually the statistician in the group. I'm not the eye expert, but I've been working with this group for over 10 years. So along the way, I've learned a lot about health and vision, and we have used the National Health Interview Survey a lot, and generally are doing large-scale, nationally representative type research. So just to kind of give you a preface of what we're trying to do here, the extant literature shows visual impairment being related to mortality. And we found that in a lot of our research using National Health Interview Survey as well as other data. But we started to wonder and do some research on what the mechanisms really are for how visual impairment affects mortality. So we're kind of trying to figure out what goes in this black box here in terms of through what processes is visual impairment affecting mortality. And so we've been using structural equation modeling to obtain indirect and total effects in cross-sectional data. And so we're able to not only see the direct impact on mortality, but also see how it impacts mortality through other things. So what are some potential mechanisms for the way that visual impairment impacts death? Self-reported visual impairment is the third most disabling condition. So it's ranked only behind cerebral vascular disease and hip fracture. So this is something we've cited in some of our papers as, this idea of physical disability being a mechanism. Another mechanism is mental health in general. And so poor vision in older adults has a greater impact on overall mental health than stroke and heart attack. Again, another citation here for that. You know, other associations that we found in our research and that exist in the literature and could be potential mechanisms are impaired activities of daily living, social isolation, depression, impaired mobility, and, of course, the decreased physical activity. And then the mortality would be a final outcome, not necessarily a mechanism here, obviously. So the limitations of our prior work, and I think a lot of existing research, is that we were looking at these mechanisms using cross-sectional data. We weren't looking at dynamic changes over time during aging to see what was going on sort of as individuals age. And so that was one limitation. We also were using generally self-reported measures of visual impairment, so we didn't really have an effect size for a clinical measure of vision. And so this led us to doing this study and to collaborating with the Wilmer Eye Institute folks, where we are doing analysis on the Salisbury Eye Evaluation Study. And so this is a population-based study of age-related eye diseases, visual impairment, and functional status of non-institutional residents of Salisbury, Maryland. These folks are between 65 and 84 at the baseline survey in 1993. They actually recruited 100% of the black residents in this town, and then they did a random age stratified sampling of 58% of the eligible white residents. Participants undertook a 2-hour in-home interview followed by a 4 to 5 hour clinic examination. This study actually has 2,520 participants who were in the initial cohort, and they were observed for 3 time points over 8 years. And our analysis actually utilizes this full sample of 2,520. In addition, the participants had to be able to travel to the clinic for their visual exam, and they also had to have a score of more than 17 on the mini mental status examination. So I guess eliminating sort of cognitive issues. So the measures that we use, we use best corrected binocular distance or measure of visual acuity using the ETDRS chart. And our units were actually Logmar scales, but we kind of looked at some other effect sizes. Mortality was ascertained from linkage with the National Death Index, and that was through 2009. And that actually identified over half of the population had passed away by 2009. So the functional status measures are self-reported, and these were from a validated questionnaire. The verbiage on this is the same across all the questions. Each question starts with, by yourself, that is without the help of another person or special equipment, do you have any difficulty? And then items such as this, getting out of bed or chair, bathing or showering, feeding yourself. They had a 5-point scale. They could say they have no difficulties all the way to unable to do it at all because of health or physical limitations. The instrumental activities are a little bit different. You can see an example of some of the items here. There were 6 items. So do you have difficulty using the phone, lighthouse work, preparing meals, managing money, so forth? We validated these using confirmatory factor analysis just to make sure that these functionality measures were fitting well, and then we just combined the items into a scale. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the methods. We use structural equation modeling, and so this is a way where we could look at change over time in all three sort of processes, the visual acuity, the ADLs, and the IADLs. So it was a multivariate longitudinal analysis. We were able to include everyone, even those who dropped out of the study or had a missing item here or there, using a best practices in terms of missing data, maximum likelihood estimation. And then our models are actually, for the mortality outcome, were Cox proportional models, which is pretty standard. So the first thing I wanted to demonstrate is to show the trajectories that we estimated for the three health constructs. And so you can see the best corrected is on the bottom. Now, these are all in standardized units so that I could put them on the same scale here. And you can see that for this population, they're all increasing in their difficulties for activities of daily living and instrumental activities of daily living, as well as increased visual impairment. So what we did in our first study was look at the association between these processes. So what we can look at is both the initial starting level and then average change over time to see if the changes are associated as these individuals age. So a little bit about the effect sizes on those changes. The best corrected acuity worsened by an average of about 0.013, about one letter annually on the chart. This is about 0.29 standard deviations on average annually, or a change from 2020 to about 2025 vision over the 8-year period. ADL difficulties increased by 0.22 standard deviations, and IADL increased by 0.28. So basically, the IADLs, that's about increasing 1 point on every single, 1 point on the 5-point items for all 5 items. And then in the IADL, increasing 2 points on all of the 6 items. So that's just another way of thinking about that change. So dynamic things going on here. So what did we do? We took these trajectories and put them in a larger model. And so this is, I'll try to simplify this as much as possible. But so here are our mechanisms. So we're hypothesizing that the activities of daily living and the instrumental activities of daily living are the mechanisms by which visual impairment, which is measured at the top there, impacts mortality. So what we look at is both the starting level of vision and then the average change in vision over time, and whether those things affect the starting levels, so the levels and the change, and the difficulties mediators. We're controlling on a lot of covariates, health behaviors. I think we have 16 health conditions, all measured at baseline, which is a little bit of a limitation. But so those control for the pathways to mortality and to the mediators. So what did we find here? So lower acuity as measured by best corrected vision at baseline. So this is just the levels of visual acuity, initial levels. They were associated with significantly higher levels of IADL disability at baseline. So associated in a cross-sectional way with IADLs. They also were related to a smaller increase in the change in ADLs over time. These findings weren't the strongest in this research. The strongest findings really were in this dynamic association between visual impairment and IADLs. So what we found was the relationship between declines in visual acuity and increases in IADL disabilities during the aging process, a correlation of 0.40. You can compare that to the relationship between obesity with IADLs, which is 0.2. So this is almost double from the visual impairment. So then we had also the LogMAR unit increase in best corrected acuity loss on average every year resulted in about a 0.5 unit increase on average in the IADL. So just another way of looking at that association. So this is just visualizing, I guess, what the results were. And this is just looking at the levels. So this is sort of like a cross-sectional analysis, this part here. And what we found was when we included IADLs as a mediator, the direct effects of visual impairment went away. So we see visual impairment affecting mortality entirely through IADLs here. And we can see that our indirect effect shows that a one-unit increase in baseline levels of visual impairment resulted in about a 20% higher risk of death. But this is acting through IADL. The more profound findings were looking at the dynamics, the changes. So we see that for average annual change in visual impairment over time had a similar effect with the changes going on in IADL, about a 0.5 regression coefficient there. And we saw a huge impact of IADLs on mortality here. Individuals that were changing, who were developing more difficulties with IADLs during this time, had a 3.5, they were at 3.5 times as likely to die compared to those who were sort of stable on their IADLs during the 8 years. And we see that our indirect effect here of visual impairment is 1.8, so almost two times the risk of mortality for when we see annual changes in visual impairment. But operating, again, entirely through changes in IADLs, our direct effect went away. We do have a total effect here of visual impairment, which showing a risk of death that's 3.5 times someone who's not changing in visual impairment during this time period, so that those individuals who are stable, which is a large effect, not a very precise estimate, but larger effect. So basic conclusions, we found a primary mechanism for the effect of visual impairment on mortality is this declining in function over time, and specifically with the instrumental activities of daily living. We found evidence of a fully mediated process, meaning the direct impact of visual impairment went away when we look at IADLs as a mechanism. IADLs may be impacting mortality in a lot of ways. It's related to social isolation, loneliness and depression, among other things. So basic implications, reinforcing the need for primary prevention of visual impairment, which I think we're trying to sort of put research out that does emphasize the need to look at visual impairment here. And then when someone does have uncorrectable visual impairment, to focus on helping these people maintain robust IADLs, things like cooking for themselves, shopping, you know, things that are involve both social integration and activity as well as physical. Thanks.
I'm sure there's questions for Sharon.
We think it's relevant, and that's, we did not have a finding there, and so we were sort of troubled over that and trying to figure out what was going on there. My guess was we're interviewing these people every 2 years, so by the time someone starts showing change in ADLs, they might be censored by the next measurement. So we had a lot less variation in IDLs in the sample than we did with the IADLs. So it may have been just a population or sampling issue. We may need to do assessments closer together so that we can measure ADL changes better. What we didn't find was the association between ADLs and mortality, that link, when we controlled for IADLs. So I don't know if that's a good explanation, but we were trying to come up with, you know, why we were getting these findings.
The second question is, you have 3.5 hazard ratio between IADL and mortality. So what proportion actually is contributed from the
UK? Of the 3.5?
Yeah.
I think it would be this estimate, the 1.8 estimate. So that is, if you multiply for a one unit change in the VI, that makes a certain amount of change in IADLs, which then, so that's what this effect is here. So we're saying that, this is not a linear, I don't think we can take 1.8 out of 3.5, but it's sort of like that. I think the 1.8 is.
I only have one question, but just before, because I had the same question. So this is the 1.8 to 3.5 is controlling for, this is a controlled model.
Yeah.
So whatever its changes are happening in the IADL, is it vision related, or we don't know if it could be happening from other,
It could be happening from other things, but this indirect effect is only
vision.
Yeah, only the change due to vision, yeah.
So the 1.8 is directly vision and IADL.
Yes. That's how I would.
It's fair to say actually vision impairment change contributed to 50% of the impact of IADL on
the I don't know if you can do it because these are hazard ratios, so I think I would have to go back to the raw coefficients, divide, and then I don't know exactly how to calculate that. But we could. That's actually something that might be interesting to put in a manuscript, is give the actual proportion. That's a good question. Yeah, that's. There may be a way to get that. Any other questions? Yeah?
I know you mentioned it in the conclusion slide, but with depression measures and that impact on the IADL measure?
We controlled for depression. Unfortunately, in the sample, depression was a severe depression measure, and so we weren't getting a lot of variance in that. If we had had a more sort of moderate depression measure, I think we would have had a better control. So I'd say we're controlling for it, but really only severe. We're not controlling for.
Changes in mental status, you said, you know, all the 17, but there isn't that 17 over time, was that controlled for? You know.
So the actual overall study, individuals who couldn't answer the survey questions and stuff, just they didn't do the study on them. So it was more of a cognitive ability, and the 17, I think, than a mental, than a depression type measure. But we,
sorry.
Okay. Yes. Oh. No. No. I think, yeah. That could be seen as a limitation. And some of these individuals moved into nursing homes, so that was another censoring issue, which I think we also thought about in terms of people with severe ADLs or developing ADLs. They may have been censored into help, yeah, to getting a living situation changed, and they dropped out of the study. So, yeah.
Just a comment that it's really fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
But I mean, has anything done in other populations from the population that they have? I mean, they have several population studies and in different groups. So is that specific for the Salisbury study, or has anybody else done it in different populations? These kind of studies?
I'm not sure. I don't know how many longitudinal studies are out there. We haven't seen much. We've done a lot of this mediation testing with depression and other types of things using NHIS. And I think we've done some function stuff too, also looking at mediation, but just levels, not being able to look at changes, developing changes over time. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very much.